The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Today is the 7th, believe it or not, of December 2016. As I always say, we are the alpha male of radio, and we truly are. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, and our free 30-day e-books, both of them. One will really get you thinking. The other one will really get you doing, motivate you, and get some stuff rolling for you. So if you've never really listened much or read much about mental training, it's all there. And obviously, you've got not only conventional training, sandbag, and rack work. So you got something really good to build upon. So check both of those out. Also, too, go out to Motivation Muscle. .com/category/podcast and go out and look at all the material we have out there. That's a vault that is so full of information. I don't know anybody that's got that type of material out there. So go out there, and if there's something you don't find, you can get a hold of me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com, and I'm sure we can put something together for you. Well, today, you know, my feeling on bringing new people on the show, that's one of the big things. You know, we're getting near the end of 16, going into 17, and we're looking to put some new people in here too, and, you know, have a big 28-year relationship with them. And we have a girl on by the name of Janelle Vegter, and I want to give you a little information on her. Number one, she's a licensed massage therapist. She has a degree in nutrition and wellness from Benedictine University. She's certified in neurokinetic therapy. She's a figure competitor, a marathon runner, and a power lifter. And Janelle, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much, Eric. I'm excited to be on here.
Well, I'm glad to have you on here. Give us any websites, anything I missed on your bio. And we do a show. This is called Introducing. And we're going to introduce Janelle to our family, hoping that she'll want to be part of our family. And then we will have her back next year. So anything I missed, give it out to everybody, and we'll get started, please.
Awesome. Well, first and foremost, I am predominantly a power lifter as of now, so I definitely want to give a shout-out to my sponsors, 8-Man Strong and CaptainJack.com. Definitely check those out. The 8-Man Strong is an apparel company. They represent power lifters, and they are just phenomenal people. The brothers that run it are just never-ending support for, like, any and all people of the powerlifting world. And then CaptainJack.com is just, I've been there since the beginning I started powerlifting. So they are just phenomenal in carrying some really high-quality products in with Magnum Nutraceuticals. So if you guys are interested in supplement lines, that's something to check out as well. So, yeah, that's my shout-out to my sponsors.
Okay.
With social media, people can follow me. I have a business page for my massage therapy that I kind of put out there for, like, if I'm traveling or something like that. It's just Janelle Vector, JanelleVegterLMT. And you can follow me on Facebook with that. On Instagram, it's literally just my initials, JC, and then Vector. And then on Instagram, I kind of post a little bit of everything. I do a lot of my my training on there, though, so a lot of people can kind of catch up on where I'm going to be at, and especially in my training, how it's going. You know, I'm pretty honest and open about how my training goes, and yeah, that's basically it.
Okay, I want to ask you something though. That picture, you updated your profile. Is your dog an American Bulldog?
She's a pit bull mix, actually. Okay. I rescued her, and they just assumed, you know, Staffordshire Terrier, but she's got like the blocky head of a pit bull, and then she also has the personality of one. So
yeah, well, she reminds me a lot of my sister's dog. You know, he was an American bull, and he had the pie eye and everything, but you know, the facial stuff, you know what I mean? Like the nose and all that. He reminded me of my sister's dog, and they're the best.
Oh yeah, she's my baby.
Yep. Loyal to the bone, man. That's what I always, and we lost him a couple years ago to cancer.
Oh,
but,
I'm so sorry.
Well, hey, you know something? You only have a few dogs in your lifetime that really, this guy was like, I don't know. He had this innate intelligence. I mean, he was like your best friend, man. I mean, you know, loyal to the bloody end, man. If I took care of him, they'd go away. I mean, this guy was on my hip from the time I got up to the time I went to bed. You know, I mean, it was like him in the car. I mean, just a blast, man. But a dog, too, that you had to really introduce to people because he wasn't. He was really good once he got to know you, but he'd be pretty standoffish with you if he didn't know you, you know.
Okay.
And I think that was a little bit of just that protection, you know. I mean, he was so damn big, you didn't want to screw around. I mean, he was something else, but they got lucky times,
too.
Yeah,
not
my dog. No, right. And, you know, they got lucky. They got a beautiful black lab, and I think he's got a little bit of pity in him, so he's a wild man, and you know,
a lot of energy right there.
Oh yeah, so you get two dogs in a row like that, you're pretty lucky. But you know, we're gonna talk to Janelle about, we're gonna introduce her to the family a little bit, and I spoke to her yesterday, and I gave her a one up, which I never do, but I figured she was pretty excited about coming on, and you know, I'll give her a little bit so she can come on, and everything will start right up. And the first question I ask everyone here was, what was your inspiration, whether it was a family member, a friend, a superhero, somebody in your life? Some people don't have them. They might just have somebody down the street that is just non-assuming but is a great person. So here we go. You had 24 hours to think about it. who would you say really got the juices flowing to get, regardless, I mean, you've done tons of stuff, but what really got you initially into physical culture, we'll call it?
You know, and I really had to put some thought into this, because with everything that I've done throughout the years, and I mean, this goes back to, middle school, like I was a sprinter in middle school track, and there was kind of like a fire lit then when I was actually subbed in for someone for a 200-meter dash.
Yep.
And when I won the race, the coach came up to me and they're like, why weren't you running 200 meters before?
Yeah, really?
So then, going into high school, I stayed only with track and I was only a sprinter. I didn't do any sports or anything like that. And I would have to honestly just give – like it's hard to pinpoint just one single person, because like I said, like each sport I got into, there was someone that kind of lit a fire with me. So I would definitely give shout outs to like my track coaches in high school, getting into marathon running. I mean, I think back with everything I've done and I'm like, I'm crazy. But marathon running was actually kind of one of those things that I stumbled upon, and that's really odd for me to say because I don't run anymore. Well, I guess my cardio kind of changed. I should say that much.
Exactly.
But with marathon running, I kind of stumbled upon the people that I ran with in the running group, which actually turned into me meeting the founder of my massage therapy school. So everything kind of linked together. Mm-hmm. From marathon running into figure competitions, I would say that like the people I was like, you know, definitely friends kind of shuttled me into that.
Sure.
And then from figure competitions to powerlifting, how I stumbled across powerlifting was kind of a lucky chance, actually, because I knew it. I've always lifted heavy.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to squat, bench, or deadlift the way that, you know, obviously I know now.
Yeah.
It was one day I went to Jacked Hardcore Gym, and I actually met Ernie Lillibridge Sr. there, and I was watching the Lillibridges you know, do their thing in the squat rack and the monolith, and I was just like, holy crap, like, I was blown away. And I ended up messaging Ernie Sr. and telling him, like, hey, I'm really interested in powerlifting. I don't know, you know, what I can do, whatever. And so he actually invited me back to Jacked. And you can ask him this story, because he laughs every time he tells it. But I thought I was squatting, you know, to parallel at least.
Yeah, yeah.
And he always tells me how he just was watching me and just shaking his head.
Yep. So
and I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
So it was more like half squats, probably?
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
You know, quarter squat gang.
Yep, yep. Well, that's why you get a good coach, somebody to teach you, you know?
Yeah.
But you know something, you know, you got the thing is, you got to start from something, and that's a thing nowadays a lot of people are really afraid of. And not only that, they want things. You and I both know everything is in a rush. You know, you got to have this now and that. Life doesn't work that way. And the ones that rush everything have a tendency to get hurt, fail, or just drop out. And, you know, with any sport you're in, I mean, you're going to have to pay your dues. And that's one of the things, because you've got so many things going on here. And this is what I want to ask you, which is interesting, especially with massage therapy and the other modalities you're into.
Yeah.
Obviously, you said with the marathon running where you met basically the person that you took massage from? Is that how that went?
Basically.
Okay. Okay.
So what he did typically was he brought his students out to the path that the marathon running group I was part of would run.
Yep.
So at the end of our long runs, and, you know, granted, when you're doing marathon running, your longest run is 20, 21 miles as a beginner. So it's like, oh, geez, like that's. And then to have, like, massage therapists right at the end to massage you down, like, was perfect. So it was awesome.
So at that point, did you know at that point you wanted to get into massage therapy, or you still just, you're running, you really hadn't thought that far ahead? When at that point did you realize you wanted to do that for your profession?
I would say that was another thing that I kind of stumbled upon, because I was actually, before I got into massage therapy, I was finishing my degree at Benedictine for nutrition.
Okay.
And, I mean, even then, I was into the whole kinesiology side of, you know, obviously performance and all that. And,
yep.
But I didn't want to be a personal trainer. And that was something that I knew for a fact. I'm like, I can't.
Hey, I know what you mean.
So then I was just like, but how can I incorporate the human body into nutrition? Because that would be, like, the ultimate package to bring – like a whole body wellness program to someone. So when I was running marathons and I would talk to my teacher at the time, I, by the way, it's the School of Holistic Massage and Reflexology in Downers Grove, Illinois. That's where I ended up going to school for. And perfect little private school for massage. When I was talking to him and, you know, just kind of getting his perspective on things, and then I would also branch out to talk to other massage therapists and see what they do, because I knew getting into sports that obviously we have the group of people that we would love to work with, and obviously athletes were definitely my focus, but I work on everybody.
Yeah.
You know? Obviously I draw more athletes though, so that's, you know, perfect for me. But yeah, it really was just, I was looking for something more.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do more for someone. I wanted to be there to help. It ultimately comes down to just wanting to help. And how can I do that on something much deeper than just a superficial level? Like, even though massage therapy is all touch and feel, I mean, people greatly underestimate the power of touch.
Yeah, I agree with you totally, because I'll tell you what, whether I've had that done or I go down and get all different forms of, whether it's laser, ART, whatever it is, I don't know about you, but I have to go a pretty good distance. I live in upstate New York, and I got to go down near New York City to get it done, because there's supposedly a guy, I don't know, about 20 minutes from me, but I've been going to Mark for years, and it's like, I'm one of those people that we know each other. I don't know if I'd want to start with somebody new at this point. I'm not saying I wouldn't, but here's what I always gather from it. When I leave any of that stuff, I always feel, especially when I'm driving back from this place called Saugerties, you feel this like enlightenment in you. You know what I mean? It's like your mind feels on top of everything, and you're very. I'm always very. It's the only time. There's only two places in my life that I ever have felt very settled. Not really incredibly aggressive all the time. There are two. Mm-hmm. The only two places that driving home is like. It's almost like. You feel on top of the world, but at the same time, somebody blew the air right out of you. It's like nothing gets to you at that point, all right? There's nothing. It's almost like I've emptied my mind and body on the way back, all right? And you feel dynamite. And when you get home, obviously, I'll go sit down or something. You're so damn calm, you'll fall asleep, and it's great. It's a great feeling. Then the other place is I'd go sometimes mornings when they were open. I'd go sit in the last pew in this church in Albany. It's called St. James. It's mammoth, and it's the only time I ever found real tranquility like that. That and going down and getting it. And I think that's one of the things. I don't know if people catch on to that feel, because you know you're right. It's hand touch. I mean, someone is putting their hands on you. Obviously going after the areas where you're hurting, the whole thing, blah, 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 blah. And I think that's a big trust factor right there. At least that is for me, because I'm a funny guy. I don't even like people touching my face. So that includes girlfriends too. I'm weird like that. I don't know what it is. And I mean, after you get used to somebody, it's different. But I think it's a very important thing to have that stuff down and find that in you, because – you know, it's like anything, trainers, ART, there's good and bad in all, and you really got to search them out, right? I mean, and you know what the thing is, too, and you know from working on athletes, it's like, I might not have a degree in what you do, and I'm nowhere near as good as you, but I know the human anatomy pretty good. So you kind of know who knows what they're doing and who not, and you know the questions to ask and the things that are on your mind, and I just feel that, you know, that's a win-win thing. So I believe, seriously, I think chiropractic and all that stuff is great, but my opinion, and I've talked to other people too, I still feel massage is the best thing to get your body back. So tell me, I mean, you're going to be, I know people are going to say, well, Janelle's partial, but tell me what you think about that. Right? I know they're going to, but I don't care.
Okay, so you actually hit it on the head with a couple things, and I'm actually going to put this out there. I was actually talking to the chiropractor, and he's also a functional neurologist, that I'm teaming up with again. He taught me a bunch of what I know in terms of my technique and how to approach people. And when I'm seeing some form of dysfunction, whether it's movement or even how they feel that day.
Yeah, yep.
And him and I are actually going to sit down. We're debating whether we're going to make a Facebook Live or a YouTube video, but him and I are going to take some perspectives of what people have been wanting to ask me, and then to get like the neurological side of massage. Because obviously what you said, like there's people, I've had them on my table where they're like, I've never had a massage before. I don't even know if I'm going to like it when you touch me.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, well, this is something you have to have an open mind. Like, I'm not, when I approach people, it's going to be I have an open mind as well, because I know most people have this idea of touch being invasive.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
I have that respect for someone in that aspect, but then I also tell them, I'm like, you have to realize that me touching you in the areas that are troublesome, whether it's a previous surgery or injury or whatever, that will get you to be more connected to your body.
Yeah.
And that is what I see the most, and this is something that probably Joe Baldino is his name, him and I are going to sit down, and I'm going to say that, because it's like a lot of people don't have that mind-body connection.
Right.
And I'll take that and I'll kind of expand on it. Like, that was something that before even getting into massage therapy, I saw was super relevant in everything that I pursued, from marathon running. Like, that mind-body connection is like, you are tired as hell before you reach 26.2 miles.
Yep.
But you have to tap into something. And whatever that something is, whether it's your pure faith in yourself, it's like you have to find that drive. And you have to have that vision. Well, that thing is, a lot of people on my table can't even visualize what muscle I'm working on.
Yep.
And I have to be completely honest, it almost drives me nuts because I'm like, how are you not making that connection? But at the same time, if I can teach them how to do that, then my work is, it's not done, but like I'm helping, and that's what I want.
Well, you know what else too, though? When you are connected, and that's one of the reasons, I mean, you know, you're an athlete, I'm an athlete, we got a better grasp of what's going on with us, I think. That doesn't bother me. I mean, if I like the person that's working on me, I don't tense or anything, because I've had people even say to me that, for a guy the size of you, you're so easy to move. Now, I've had that saying said in chiropractic too, because see, the big thing with me is before I let anybody put their hands on me, I make sure I like that person and I trust that person.
Yes.
Because hey, look,
yes,
you know, especially a chiropractor, I mean, if they're trying to move things like bones and everything, it's like, I'm not saying you're going to break something or break my neck, but I have to have a trust in you like that.
Yes.
Because, you know, I'm laying on the table and it's like, okay, you know, you're standing over me, so you're pretty much in charge here. So what are we going to do? But, you know, the thing is, I think too, with what you do is it's good that you know how to connect with people, because, you know, it's like anything. I've gone to multiple people with different disciplines. There's just going to be some people personally you like and you're really going to want to work with, and you're going to walk out there and feel on top of the world. And then there's others, it's like, I'm not going back there again. You know, that's the and you know, I think with what you do, especially with all the stuff you've done, whether it's the figure competitor, running, you know, to date, the powerlifting, anything else you're into, I think you bring an edge to it. At least anybody I've ever met that's had some athleticism behind them, you know, you got somebody that's really into it, who understands, and maybe is going to say things to you differently that others would not. And I think especially you and I know we've all had injuries. I'm nursing one still. When you go to somebody, especially when you're hurting, man, you want to have complete confidence in their ability that they're not going to make things worse when you walk out of there. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
So go ahead, comment on any of that.
I mean, you're hitting it all on the head. And honestly, I think a lot of people would agree with you. They just don't bring it to light. So I would... Yeah, I mean, trust is definitely something, and it also comes down to me as a therapist. Like, do I trust myself to work on this person?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I know deep down inside, if there was something that I couldn't address, I would tell that person to go somewhere else. Like,
that's
to
cool.
A particular person.
Yep.
So I'm not ashamed to say, like, I don't know how to do this, or I don't know how to approach the situation. I would suggest you go see a different professional.
Yep.
And I think, you know, when it comes down to therapists, it's very hard for us to admit that we don't know it all. But that's where I'm standing here. Like, I know I don't know everything, but trust me, like, I know the idea of knowing myself well enough and how I can help you know yourself in that sense. Because, again, like, it plays into, and we'll just go back to, obviously, athletics and sports performance. When you become more in touch with yourself, you start picking out, you know, like, say you're squatting. Well, where are you failing in the squat? Why are you failing? Like, you start listing off all these questions, and you'll be able to answer them when you finally have that connection to yourself. And the only way you can really make that connection is, like, if someone teaches you how to make that connection.
Yep.
So I agree with you 100%. And everything you're hitting, it's like I can think of multiple clients that I've had on my table that are in those exact situations. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's inevitable that... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, it's inevitable that, you know, not everyone's going to like my therapy, but I'm not going to sit there and tell them, like, this is something that you need to do, because it ultimately comes down to, are you going to trust me? Are you going to take something away from it other than just, you know, paying for the massage? Because it's like, I'm not, you know, when I say that this is my calling, like, I'm passionate about it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
It is, you know, like, it is something that I want to pursue for the rest of my life, because I see so much potential, not just in the science of massage. Like, that's incredible where they're going with, you know, studies and everything. And that's going to be even more of the stuff that Dr. Baldino and I, we're going to hit on, because it's huge. I mean, massage therapy is is one of the original medicines.
Yep. I'll tell you one thing. Here's the greatest thing is this. You know, you've got an opportunity here to do so many good things for people, which is big to begin with. But, you know, like when I talked about, you know, Mark, when I go down to chiropractor, Janelle and I were talking about all the stuff with the fascia now. And it's pretty interesting, you know, when he worked on me to just feel, you know, the point of where he'd find either the tension or where I'd have some type of build up there that he'd have to break up and be able to move that tissue like that. And, and you know, those are the things that now, I mean, can get an athlete right back in and fairly quickly where, you know, before the other ways would be, and I'm never going to put anything down about resting. I think rest is still the best thing you can do. I mean, it's paramount. But nobody wants to be sidelined for any length of time, and you want to be able to get back and do the things you love. And, you know, this is what you afford to people. And with where you are as far as massage therapy right now, I mean, in your opinion, what do you see, I mean, for you right now? Where do you think, obviously, you're going to get into some more things here, but where do you see for yourself? What do you see happening, you think, in the next year for you?
I think we kind of touched on this yesterday, and this is very, like, one of those things that, you know, you have a vision and you're going to take it and run with it.
Yep.
Ultimately, I'm going to keep expanding my my technique, and I want to keep getting certified in things that I see. And you mentioned fascia, so there's fascia stretch therapy.
Yep.
That's something I'm definitely going to be looking into and investing into, because I definitely want to get a certification in that, because I've had it done to me, and it is phenomenal what the results are. So in terms of my knowledge base, I'm always going to be expanding. In terms of my business, I wish to be, you know, nationally recognized for, you know, things that I can do. And if I can take that and teach others, then I would do that as well.
That's awesome, because, I mean, that's so important. It's like you get out there and it's not – and the good thing, too, with what you're doing with powerlifting – you know, you're making a name for yourself there too. So it'll be very interesting to see, you know, where you can go with this totally. Because you got a hell of a.
It's funny that you say that actually, because so many people know me for lifting that I'm actually trying to like convert what people know me for. And it's kind of frustrating to be honest.
Yeah,
they're
but.
Like, oh, yeah, it's like she's a power lifter. She's done this, this, and this. And I'm like, yes, I'm also a massage therapist.
Yep. No, hey, I agree with you, but you know something? You'll get that. I mean, you know, and let's face it. It's great. It's great to do powerlifting and all the other stuff, but you know, maybe down the road, that's what you're going to do for the rest. You know what I mean? You want to do that for the rest of your life, and you might not be lifting competitively forever either. So, I mean, the nice thing is you're building an opportunity and you're building a profession for yourself that no one's going to ever be able to take away. That, I mean, I think that's incredible right there. And you know, a lot of people, you look at a lot of athletes, they don't have anything to fall back on. And, you know, a lot of times you have a bad injury or something where, you know, you just don't feel like doing it anymore or whatever. And guess what? You got nothing behind you. How many people do we know, you know, pros that you read about, they die broke? You know, I mean, you're building now, you're building such a foundation for yourself that you're always going to have something that, you know, you're going to be able to do and make a living on and appreciate and be appreciated.
Yes.
I think that's very, I think that is so damn important, you know.
Yeah, I'm super excited where all this is going.
Oops. Yeah. I mean, you know something? Everything that happens, you create yourself. I'm a big believer in what you think about most, you become. And it takes a long time and a lot of hard work to do this, but it does happen.
Oh, it's definitely teaching me.
You
know, it's definitely a learning experience for me, because this is really here's another fun fact for me. So this is my first year actually going off on my own with my own business.
Okay.
So I have a lot more to build on everything. I'm about 3 years into 3.5 years or so into massage therapy. So I have the experience, you know, enough experience to do it, but the whole business side of it is something I'm still learning. But regardless, I have phenomenal support. And if people, I'll just throw this out there as well. If people are looking to get a hold of me, definitely find me on social media. But then if anybody knows the Chicagoland area, in Lombard, yep. 2XL Powerlifting, the powerlifting gym, 2XL is where I'm, that's my hub. That's okay. where I'm out of. So okay. If people know where that gym's at, you'll find me.
Awesome. Well, so, I'll tell you one yeah. thing that you might really be interested in, too. Have you ever heard of shockwave therapy?
I've heard of it. Well, you're going to have to fill me in on that.
Well, that thing's pretty wild. That's the thing I was telling you about that Mark does. They call it radial shock therapy. And
yeah.
this thing, the best way to describe it, and it's going to sound like, oh, my God, you would do that. It basically sounds like when they put it in an area that's involved, it will give you like a it'll be these impulses, but the best way to hear to me it almost is like a jackhammer effect. It doesn't cause you pain, right? But you know it's pressure yeah. waves, all right? And I'll tell you what, it breaks down. I mean, I'm sure, like I read all the studies and stuff on it. Scar tissue, it destroys adhesions, all that yeah. stuff, trigger points, all that. I mean, that's a relatively new therapy, and he's one of, I think, the few, he might be the only, one of two in the United States. It was very big in Europe. It still is. That's where it all came from. But, you know, I know for sure, I mean, you know, knees, shoulders, hips, all the normal suspects, and I'll tell you, that thing works good. But I think what I found with that fascia, I mean, I think... You know, he had gone to a course a few weeks before that, and he had always done it a little bit. I like hands better on me that know what they're doing than machines. All right.
Yeah.
Nothing against them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm gonna just say this, like, again, going back to massage therapy being like an original medicine.
Yep.
You know, and you have to have that appreciation for it because that's what we started with.
Yeah. Absolutely. When you got clientele coming in, because I'm sure we're going to get something about this note wise. What are usually the areas you find that, I mean, if there's a common denominator with massage therapy, what do you find on people that's pretty common?
Oh boy. it's interesting. I would say that, depending on the lifter in
yep.
general, shoulders are, they wreak havoc on most people
yep.
just because of how complex they are. It's really hard to pinpoint what exactly is the single problem, which to me, there's never one single problem. It's this, if you look at functional movement, it's a chain reaction. So if there is an issue, usually there's like a chain reaction to it.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
No, it does. Totally.
But I would say shoulders, you listed them off. It's all the main joints.
Yeah. Yep.
Shoulders, hips, ankles, things like that.
Yep.
I tend to look at the body from, you know, either top down, depending on the person, or bottom up. So looking at the feet, if there's like any dysfunctional movement in like the hips, then I look at the feet, I look at the knees, I look at the hips, and then I'll go up from there. If it's a person that's like having issues strictly with their neck because of like maybe whiplash or something like that, like
yep.
then I'll approach it a little differently.
Yep.
And this is something that I stress on everybody. Like, there's no cookie-cutter massage. So if you go to one of those, like, factory-style places to get a massage,
yep.
that's what you're going to get.
Yep.
But that's not my approach at all. Like, I look at each person, you know, and this is something that I have to give credibility to Dr. Baldino for. And how I look at someone is, like, the moment that they're walking towards me, I'm already assessing them.
Yep.
So, and if someone isn't doing that, like, if they're walking ahead of you, or if they're like if my client's behind me, I'm not learning anything by
exactly.
watching them. So, you know, it's something like as simple as that. And I look at how are they feeling that day, things like that. I mean, there's so much to look at, and that's what drives me nuts when I hear about people. And I get quite a few clients coming from, and I would hate to like list off places, but I think
right.
you know what I'm
right.
talking about when I say like factory style places.
Yep, yep.
So it annoys me that they're like, I'm just coming from this because I wasn't getting anything out of that. I'm like, to be honest with you, you're not going to because
yeah.
they teach you how to massage someone.
Yeah.
And it's the same across the board. I'm like, I'm sorry, but you are an individual human being. You are different than me. I would hope that someone's going to massage you different than they would massage me.
Absolutely. Another thing too that I've found. I'll ask you. I mean, I've had a lot of different ways. One thing I don't know if I liked or not. There was for a while. I was going to this one massage therapist, and they would. I think it was more of the Orient style, where there'd be bars literally right in the ceiling of the place, and they would be like, "Do you want me to walk on your back?" And I was like, "I don't know about that." And then there's a lot of. See, I don't like elbows a lot of times. A lot of elbow digging in everything.
Yeah.
I think I told you yesterday when we were talking offline was I don't want to go to a massage therapist, a chiropractor, anybody that's laying bruises down on me. I understand it can happen, but one I'll deal with. But when you got six, I got a little bit of a problem. That probably means I'm not coming back. All right. I think people a lot of times feel because your structure's bigger that they can bear down on you that much harder. And the ones that I felt that were very good had like a very soft touch, but were able to get in anywhere they had to. I never felt with any of that stuff that you need to like beat the snot out of anybody's body, because you know I'm coming from a place where you do too. It's like you're working out whatever days a week you are, how many, you're thrashing the hell out of yourself. And really the last thing I want to do is come in and have Janelle beat the crap out of me, all right? Seriously. So you know what I mean? And I'm not saying you would, but I'm just saying that I don't think that really lends a lot of times to at least what I'm looking for. You know, and if you want people to come back, I mean, let's face it, if they're a little bit sketchy to begin with, if they go home and find a half dozen bruises on them, it's like, explain that one, you know what I mean? And it's like, that might not be a repeat. But, you know, the interesting thing, too, is, I'm going to move away a little bit from the massage, but I want to get more into, let's talk a little bit especially about with powerlifting, and we get into a lot of the mental business going on with you when you're training, when you're getting ready to compete, just day-to-day world stuff here. And let me ask you this. I mean, I saw you, Janelle and I spoke yesterday offline, and you know, I was out on Facebook, and I see her rip a 375-pound deadlift for 5 reps, and they were beautiful pulls. And and I want to ask you something, though, especially being a female lifter. And, you know, you're looking now more and more. I mean, you see strongman's growing with the women's side. Powerlifting is. Obviously, bodybuilding's always been there, et cetera, et cetera. And there's opportunity after opportunity. What do you feel? I mean, because I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure you're probably training in a gym, especially with what you're doing. It's maybe predominantly male. How do you feel? I mean, I just get talking to you that you probably fit in pretty easy with people. But what do you feel? What do you feel when you walk in there and you know the guys are around and you know you nailed that big deadlift and all that? I mean, how do you know when you go in there? I mean, you know, maybe you don't even think about it, but what does it feel like you coming from a woman's side when you're in that world? And just, you know, anything you want to add, go ahead.
It's always interesting. I always like saying that I probably could fit in pretty well just because I have the idea that I'm like, it is a male dominant sport regardless. And yes, it is expanding on the female end of it, but I mean, when it comes down to showcase of strength, like it's still not normal for women to be strong, regardless of how hard we're pushing that.
Yep.
You know, I think it's always going to be a misconception, no matter what. But I always like to say that I'd like to think I can hold my own because I have two older brothers and a dad who's a truck driver. So
yeah.
So I like. You know, the whole dirty mouth and everything, I can, you know, hold my own on that.
But, absolutely. I know. Hey,
so, I'm actually doing pretty well now, not swearing as much. But anyways, but yeah, that would be something that in terms of women, I don't know how to really say this other than like don't walk into the gym and expect to be respected.
That makes total sense, because there's too much of that bullshit going on right now. And it's like I told you yesterday with a few people here, look, I'm all for everybody wants to come to the party, you're welcome. But you know what? We leave all the other stuff outside the door. If someone's not treating you right, well, then you got to address that. But if it's a little tough in there, and you know from being around brothers and a dad, and, you know, I had one sister, so you can imagine the crap she went through, all right? So here's the deal. When it comes down to it at the end of the day, whether you're in powerlifting, strongman, and I've talked to numerous men and women who are competitors or who even do it for the love of it, and you got to love it regardless, but I'm talking not from a competitive end. We all protect each other. I don't care what anybody says. When it comes down to it, I think there's a camaraderie and strength right across the board, a community that is second to none. At least in my experiences. I'm not saying everybody out there is good, because in anything you got bad all over the place. But if you're looking for the bad, you're going to find it, believe me. And if you're looking for the good, it's going to work out. But, you know, here's something, and being a woman, I want to ask you this, because I've not said this much to people. I can't go out with any woman that's just a regular girl. And by that I mean she's got to be athletic, you know what I mean? She doesn't have to lift a barn off the ground, but you're not going to it's going to be very hard to connect. You know, and that doesn't bonify anything that you're going to stay together or whatever. I mean, a lot of times when you're both that competitive, you end up sawing each other in half, you know? But, you know, I also think about this, though, and I'm coming from a guy side here. I like strong women, but I like the characteristics of a woman. I like heels on a girl. I like dresses on a girl, and I want her to smell better than me. Now, some people might say, some people might say, well, you're living 50 years ago, but a mutual friend of ours I saw on Facebook the other day would love to see things go back to the 50s, where men would hold doors for you and talk to you. And,
yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay, and talk to you with respect. So let me ask you that. I mean, you know, you've been around enough men. You grew up around men. You know how they talk. You know how they act and all that.
But on, just a little bit.
Right. But on the flip side, too, regardless of what you like in a man and what I like in a woman, I mean, I told you some of the things.
You're cutting out just a little bit.
Okay. All right. I'm there? Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm hearing you now.
Okay. But so if
I'm assuming you're asking from my perspective on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, am I off the beam or what?
No. So it's funny. I think in the strength sports, there's always going to be an alpha female type personality coming from women who lift heavy and are establishing themselves in a sport that's male dominant. It's inevitable. But it does not and should never take away from the fact that we still want to be treated like women.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's what also kind of drives me nuts. It's like, I think, and I've had this conversation with several people about how dating around my generation is horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just because there's a... I think just because of the dynamics of, and we'll just use strength sports as a perfect example for it. Yeah, I would assume that you guys don't like, you know, I say you guys as collective, is that it may be hard to judge whether we want to have our hand held or if we can do it ourselves. Like, I totally get that. But just assume that we still want to be treated like women. And I completely agree with, I know who you're talking about in terms of the post.
Yep.
It's true. Like, I still want, treat me like a woman. Like, it's not that fucking hard, excuse me. But, like, hold the door open for me. Like, and yes, I'm completely capable of doing it by myself. Thank you very much. And if I need to prove that to you, I have no problem doing that.
Yep.
But why? Why is it even an issue?
It's not. And you know something else? And I don't want to get too far off the path, but it all goes with what we do here. Then you'll see things, whether there's posts out there, and I've talked to different people. It's like, then a lot of girls are like, well, I can't understand why I can't get a boyfriend. Well, I'm going to tell you something flat out. My experiences is this. If you're going to always have to be number one and you're always going to be competing with me and you want to say, well, I can do this better than you, then go find somebody else and do that with, because my perception is this. You can do things in some areas better than me, and I can do things better than you in some areas. And you know what? That's how you lock together and you got each other's back, right? I'm not ashamed of saying you can do. That's great. I'm behind you 100%. But see, when you make everything competition, it's okay to a point, but it gets old. And that's why when, you know, you're sitting around, man, and nobody's calling and you can't find, you know something? I've said to other people before, I said, you need to go look at yourself. Because stop blaming everybody else for your problems and go out and do
it. Thank you.
Right.
You're hitting it right on the head.
Yeah, it's like, you know, one thing we learn in lifting, and I'll go right to you with this, and I won't speak for you, is this. You're going to build extreme character if you really understand what's going on. You're going to really have passion for everything outside the gym, because I think I said to you yesterday, I've said this on multiple shows. There's no difference between Eric in the gym and Eric in the real world. The only difference is I don't have a barbell on my back and I'm not carrying a big stone in my hands. Now, this all goes back to understanding what physical culture is. You have a spiritual end, you have a mental end, and you sure as hell have a physical end. And if you don't know how to tie those three things together, you're going to be one of these prodigies that they think they are, and you'll 2 years from now, you'll be like, where'd so-and-so go? I don't know. I never see him again. Yeah. That's really what it is. To me, lifting is a lifetime. Okay? Right? Go ahead.
And I think the other thing we definitely hit on yesterday was how just, like, ego-driven it is.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of, like, that's debilitating to a relationship in general.
Sure,
like,
it is.
And you hit it, you said it, where it's like, if, so to speak, one person's going to be better at one thing than the other.
Yep.
Let that be motivation and not a competition.
Absolutely. And here's another thing people forget, because I've had it said to me, because I've been guilty of it before. When you're with that person, no matter what, where you are, your eyes are on them. And you give them the attention they deserve and the respect. When you don't, I've seen so much bullshit out. My buddy owns an Italian restaurant here, and we go there sometimes. And you'll see people now, I don't know if they're married or dating or what, they'll be sitting there, their food won't even get touched, and all they're doing is texting. I'll tell you a story quick, which was great. We were at my buddy's restaurant, and I was out with an ex, and she was on the phone constantly and texting, and I said, excuse me, I got up, because we had met there. I would never have done it otherwise. I walked out the back door and never came back. And I'll tell you why I did it, because I was like, is that disrespect or what? Total disrespect.
No, I would have done what you did.
Yep. And I got a call, and then I got to come over and couldn't understand it. I said, if you don't understand it, you know, you need to go find another option, and that was it. I'm like, you know, like I said, if you're with somebody and they're not the most important thing in your life when you're with them, then you have no, you know, there's no reason to be with them. And that's a thing I think now, you know, especially when we saw that post on Facebook, I think a lot of men and women are starting to find out it's not what it's been portrayed, and this nonsense where, you know, I'll get over on you, or I'll talk to you like crap, or I'll tell you one thing, my sister, I mean, I love my brother-in-law, he's a big boy, big football player, all that, but if he did anything to my sister, I'd break his knees right out from under him, all right? I don't like, you know, if I ever found out somebody was abusive to my sister, I'd go find him and kick their face in. I'm not kidding you either. I don't like that stuff at all. You know, and it might be from the Italian background too, because they were pretty strict about shit like that. But you know, that's a whole nother thing. I want to ask, go ahead, if you got, comment on anything, Janelle, if you want.
Well, I think, and I know this just because I, over this course of this year,
yep,
the people that I've met through, and I'll just say this much, this year has been life-changing for me.
Cool.
And I'll say that because after I last competed at the XPC, I found myself being, and I say liberated, and I mean that in the, like, a very spiritual sense, as well as, like, I learned to give absolutely no fucks. I finally found out a lot about a very toxic relationship I was in for,
yep,
several years.
Yep.
And I just kind of came to the realization of what I needed to do to really find my own worth. And so, and when I say this, like, this year has been life-changing, and I mean that, it was really me discovering everything about myself over again.
Yeah.
Just because I am 27, and when I was in this relationship, it took away a lot of my pivotal 20s.
Yep.
You know, the years that I should have been discovering myself, I was wrapped up in a relationship with a sociopath, so in a pathological liar.
Yeah.
And what's so weird, and I'll say this, it's so common in the strength sports.
Yep.
Because of egos. And
yep.
And I mean, God forbid we start talking on, you know, the topic of, like, steroids and gear, like,
yep,
that's a whole nother issue.
Yep.
But
yep.
I mean, I've connected on so many levels with women who have gone through the same thing that I have.
Yep.
And this is through me packing up my Jeep and traveling for 4 days to Nashville by myself. I
yep.
went down, I'll just say her name now, Amy Payne. I went
yep.
down and saw her, and her and I connected. And it's just throughout this year, I've met more and more phenomenal women. And to be honest, and men. I've talked to men on, you know, the occasion of when they kind of picked up, you know, I write here and there, and I'll
yeah.
post it on Facebook, and people will pick up on it. They're like, hey, like, I actually really connected to this. And then they're, you know, men and women, I'll talk to them about, you know, what we went through.
Yep.
And it really became a different community to me, because then I started seeing the good side of the strength sports.
Yeah.
I'll say that much. Like,
yeah.
the people who are, you know, genuine and sincere to themselves and searching to better themselves. And that was something that, you know, and the unfortunate thing was, like, I kind of went through enough to start picking out red flags so I could end, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say, like how you picked up that you were being disrespected on that date.
Yep.
That's about as quick now as I am picking
yep.
up the red flag. So
yep.
it's like, it's unfortunate, but fortunate, you know. But kind of trailed off there. But, like, in terms
no,
of, you know, dating and stuff like that, it is really hard to see who is there without any outside motive
yep.
of taking away your notoriety or, you know, just riding out their ego. And I'm saying men and women. I am not classifying just men. Obviously, in my experience, it was only with men.
Yeah.
But I know several men who have gone through the same thing with women.
Sure, sure.
But it's that same idea. It's just like, okay, be there for the person, but don't take away who they are.
Right,
and,
right.
you know, it's like a person will, and I can't remember who I was reading. I want to say Paul Carter actually put up a post about how, you know, someone goes through whatever in their life, and, you know, it will make an impression on them. It ultimately, it's who they are. And so I've dated people like this where they're like, well, you need to get over that in your past. I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't need to tell me. You don't need to tell me what I need to get over and whatnot. I'm like, because actually, this is a red flag. Goodbye.
Absolutely. And, you know, the bottom line is you got to protect yourself. And you know, we
yeah.
see it with business
yeah.
and everything. And you know what the amazing thing is? You know, you talked about, and I've said it too. I mean, you know, you go through a lot of trials and tribulations, whether it's with training, your personal life, your entrepreneurship, all that. And, you know, the bottom line is here, and I think a lot of people are afraid of it, is how do you think you're going to get smarter? You're going to have to obviously take a lot of pitfalls. You're going to get knocked down multiple times, whether it's personally, professionally, business, training, all that stuff. And anybody that tells you different, doesn't know what the hell they're talking about because,
right.
You know, unfortunately, you don't want to see anybody get hurt with anything, you know, whether it's
absolutely.
Business. But you know something? How can you protect somebody 24/7? You can't.
Right.
But
right.
as you said, you learned where red flag, you know, right away, got to get away from this person because
yeah.
it's only going to get worse. And that's how you become so good at what you do. And that goes with everything. It's because, you know, you'll have people. I've had people say to me, how'd you get so far with the business? I was like, well, I'm usually up by 5 a.m. Maybe take a break here and there, lunch, or if I got a train or whatever. Normally working till 8:30 at night, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
I said, that's how you do it. I said, you got to work your ass off. You got to not take no for an answer. And you got to be willing to outwork anybody out there because you're what you like to do, in my opinion, you want to be the best you can be at it. And the only
yeah.
way you're going to be good at it is you have to develop whatever your brand is or whatever you want to do. And
mm-hmm.
most people are never going to sacrifice that much for themselves because, you know, people are used to being able to work a 9-to-5 job they hate. They make just enough to get by. They got benefits. They'll have retirement. And then they come home, and, you know, a lot of them are very unsatisfied at home. You
yes.
know, they got. And,
yes.
And,
right
yeah.
Right
and it's, you know what it is? It's like, I think everybody should be happy with life no matter what happens. I think we were made to be happy, made to be creative. And I think that's some of the things that have happened to me with my own business. Now, I always tell everybody, I would never tell anybody not to do it, but you better damn well be ready for anything and everything coming at you at all different times. And I never tell anybody not to do it, but I'm saying if you're not of that mental edge like that and can't be
yeah.
resilient, I would tell you don't do it because you're gonna fall on the sword hard and you might not come back up. So, you know, I look at, you know, you and I both know there's so many people out there, major names that have come from nothing. They could be living in a
yeah.
van to whatever. And they obviously persevered, and I think one of the things at the base for everything we do is training. I think training,
yeah.
When you fully understand what you're doing, all right, and you put in the time and it becomes a lifetime, because my goal is at 100 years old, I want to still be able to squat 250 and drop dead on the platform. That's it. I figure that's a full
yeah.
life at that point, and I've done my goal. It doesn't matter. But the biggest thing is here is, you know, not only do I want to travel next year, go lift some more famous stones, but I want to see this business grow another 100% or 300% or 500%. It
yeah.
doesn't matter. So, you know, all these things that you do, all these things you're set up for, all these, like we talked about with relationships, training, business, going and, you know, like you learning new modalities, you know, developing whatever you want to develop, you know, get very
yeah.
good with YouTube. Same with me, whether it's products or go out and figure out a whole new angle of training for myself or, you know, hopefully come up with an idea that nobody else has ever thought of. But most of the stuff I think's been thought of, it's just been added on or developed a little differently. I think that's what it's all about. And I think to survive
yeah.
in anything we do, you have to be of that mentality. And I'll give it right back to you in a moment. But, you know, I think I might even said to you yesterday, you know, I got little nieces and nephews, and I love to watch them. I mean, you know, I'm going to build that my little nephew, Danny. I'll tell you, the kid's got an aptitude. I wouldn't be surprised if he's an architect. You ought to see this kid build. I mean, and take something from nothing. And I love, he'll come over and he'll have a piece of paper and he'll say, I'm going to explain to you what I'm going to do. There he is with a friggin' pen and paper drawing it up. 6 years old. All right. And it's like, damn. And then my niece, Maggie, who's 9, you know,
yeah.
she, you ought to see this kid write and design, you know, draw. The pictures are wild. She draws, but I'm going to get right to the point here. It's like with the business and everything. I found that little kid creativity back in me, which I probably had not had for years. And when you watch those little kids go, no one's telling them no. They grab the stuff, and, man, they're right on it. And they're on it until they're done or they go take
yeah.
their juice break and come back, right?
Yep.
I think those things are, you know, I think we get to a point in our life where You know, it's almost like the creativity, the want, all those things have just been literally beat out of you. And yes. And it's like if you ever get an opportunity, that's why I push people so hard. Even if you're on the fence with a business and you still got a job and it's your passion, I'd say start it tomorrow. Keep your job. Go ahead.
I'll add something to that. You were just saying, like, you know, that creativity was, you know, it kind of burned out of you. I would say sometimes it's stripped from you depending on the people that you have surrounding you.
Oh, yeah.
That's another thing I learned immensely this year was just like, who has really been there for me? And even like the newer people in my life, like how much support they're giving me in terms of my business and, and my training. And and it allows me to be sure in not just myself, but in my performance and anything I do. And I think that's exactly it, though. Like, a lot of people get caught up in maintaining relationships, whereas they should really be maintaining the relationship with themselves, like becoming their own best friend.
Yep.
And you'll start really realizing who is there for you.
No, I totally agree. And not only that, you hit it on the head, too. It's like the circle you're traveling with is going to make you go and try to reach bigger heights. Or you're going to have people around that are just naysayers and want to be, they could do it, and give you all types of advice. Those are the people you cut off from your life. And a lot of times it can be friends for years, family, and unfortunately it's happened to me. It'll happen to a lot of people. There's just certain points in your life where you've got to make the break. Because if you don't, it's only going to hurt you. And I can't see... You know, when you got a business or whatever you're doing, you know, look, I'll say there's a lot of pressure at times. Now, look, I chose this life. Nobody did for me. I mean, I could have went back to what I was doing, made, you know, now I'd be making probably 100K. But the thing was, it afforded me a lot of good things, but it wasn't what I wanted anymore. And it was like, you know something, you're going to do this for the next 40 years or whatever. And I'm like, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah.
And I had to make a break. Now, would it be nice to have that big paycheck every week? Yep. But I know in my heart of hearts here that this place has gone so far that it's only going to take one thing and it's going to bust wide open. But in the meantime, you keep progressing and keep knocking door down after door down. And eventually, you know, you're going to get to where you want to get. The problem is, and I said this in the beginning, we live in a world now, if it doesn't deliver right away, it's no good. I dare anybody to go out and look at any successful businessman or woman and ask them point blank, did you make your first dot, 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 or your business get this big or whatever in the first year? And they look at you and laugh at you, man. I mean,
for sure.
Yeah, and people don't realize this stuff. You know, they're like, you know, everything, you know, I hate to say it, everything is based off what you make. That's just the thing. If you're not making XYZ, you're not a success. Well, how do you define success? Now, in my case, we want to be a multi-million dollar company because of the goals I have are going to take a lot of money to run this enterprise. And you can't go out and do big things. You know, I know people say, well, you know, I've got more passion and authenticity out there. But it also costs money to, you know, this show costs $600 a month to run. All right? That's a lot of money. And as we branch into other areas that we're working on right now, it's going to probably be more expensive, but it's also going to be a network where possibly we'll be bringing other people in under the M&M branding. So,
but you're aware of it, your investments in it is what's going to bring it. And and I would say, like, for all the doors that I've had to close, and I say it that way because ultimately it comes down to you making the decision of closing the door. There's so many more that opened and that have opened for me, especially like. Just cutting off, you know, certain people, whatever the thing was that was bringing unhappiness and uncertainty to what I was pursuing, as hard as it may have been, you know, a loss is still a loss. You're still going to mourn
absolutely.
It, whatever.
Absolutely.
But the gain has been immense. You just have to be open to it.
Yep. Well, and that's the thing. Life... You know, life can be very unkind at times, but it can be marvelous too. And you know, you're going to have to deal with the good, bad, and the ugly at times. And if you can't, you're going to have a hell of a hard time. And, you know, life out there, even in any atmosphere now, people are different. You know, everybody's been taught listen to a lot of people talk. I mean, it's me, 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 me. Well, if you're in a business like you and I are, where you have to be able to interact and speak in sentences,
you have to be empathetic.
Absolutely.
You have to be able to talk
absolutely.
To people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look at the bottom line is, if you can't conduct yourself, whether it's professionally and still have a good time and, you know, and laugh at yourself and be able to offer solutions to people, you're in the wrong business. You're going to fail miserably.
Yeah.
All right. And that's the same thing with the show here. The show is designed in a way to take yourself and anybody else connected here and bring out what you know, your experiences, and how you've either overcome them or you're still working on them, or like we talked about, where do you want to be in a year? You know, I've got a 3-year plan sitting right on top of 16. I want to do some real serious things. I don't share those things with most people because they look at me like, what? Well, you know, dream big, my friend. Don't dream small. And these are all things that we are teaching along the way. I think these are a lot of things due to, as we said before, cookie cutter, assembly line. If you don't have parents that really push in a different direction, and I think it works for some people. I don't want to sound down on everybody, but it doesn't work for me. All right. I would much rather go out like a lot of people and really take a genuine risk on yourself, a leap of faith, and go out and do it, man. Do it no matter how long, no matter who says no, no matter how many yeses you get, no matter how many times you're down a bent knee, how many times tears are going down your cheeks. But yet, no matter all that BS that's coming in your life, there's no way anything's going to break you. And as I said yesterday to you, and I've said to other people, in my case, there's been so many things. It's like you almost I welcome it. Go ahead and beat the shit out of me. Let's see if I can get up and crush you. You know what I mean? But go ahead, take it. Go ahead.
I'm going to loop around to the very first question you asked
me. Yeah.
And, you know, just talking about you talking about, you know, life experiences and people beating you down.
Yep.
And this is actually something I was going to say, like, regardless of the people who have influenced me to the point that I am at now, and I don't know if anybody else really thinks in this perspective or has said this, if you've asked them this question, but to be honest with you, like, as much as someone has influenced me, the person that has most inspired me is me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great.
That's how it should be. You know, like, if you're not looking at yourself like, wow, you just did that.
Yep.
Or you are doing it. Or rather, you should put it in effort, but you are doing this. A lot of people get lost in the idea of the final product, that they are failing to love the process, if you will. And, you know, when I look at everything that I've accomplished, and I'm like, I'm not sitting there listing off everything I've done, but, you know, it's like I sit back and I definitely say, like, wow, I didn't know over the course of, you know, 5-6 years that I would have done all this.
Well, no, I agree. And, you know, something, when we had Steve on here yesterday, it's really the alphabet A to Y, because Z is the final where you should be. If all you're doing is trying to do Z, you're not going to get anywhere, because you need those resources between A through Y, because that's where you're going to learn, grow, and build, and then you're going to reach Z and you'll be a champion. And that is what it's all about. And if you got to have instant gratitude with anything, good luck, because you're not going to make it. And that's going to be it. Janelle, give us some, you know, a synopsis, anything you want to do. Give out all your information again. I'll give mine if you'd hang on the line, and then I'll give mine and hang on the line, and we'll finish the show up, please.
Awesome. I'll just go over the social media thing, because that's been kind of my primary means of people contacting me, especially for getting massages. But on Facebook, you can find me if you look up my name, Janelle Vector, LMT. That's a business page. You can like that or friend request me. It doesn't really matter. I kind of post to both pages almost equally, or I'm trying to at least. Instagram, I tend to like a little more, so I'll post my training and everything on that. And my Instagram name is JC Vector. I don't have a website as of now. I'll give another shout out again to my sponsors, 8-Man Strong and CaptainJack.com. And then also, if people are in the Chicagoland area, if you know where Lombard, Illinois is, 2XL Powerlifting is my hub. So if you find that gym, you'll know where to find me. That's basically me.
Okay, that's great. This is Motivation Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com. Download the 2 free books. Strength Times Power Equals Success as one of our other products too. But go out and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle in the 30-day program. On both, you can just build. Also, too, motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said, I don't know of a vault out there with more information. Go out there. If there's something you don't see, go out to FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com and let me know what you'd like to hear. We've got more than ample people here to furnish anything like that. Go out to iTunes and Stitcher, obviously. Give us a 5-star review. We got some stuff out there. Let me tell you, we've got some great comments about the show. As you know, we are on multiple directories out there. Some that you would know is Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and AHA, that's AHA. If you have a new vehicle, you have the capability of getting podcasting into your car. AHA is where we're located. You can find that. In fact, our good friend Adam T. Glass sent me a note last night. He went and he put the app of Shoutcast on. He says, "I've been listening to you all night, man," because Adam is a regular on here. He said, "Those shows are unbelievable." So I thank Adam for that. He's the first person that contacted me about using Shoutcast. Awesome stuff. Also, too, if there's a show, we'll have to twist Janelle's arm to see if we can get her to come back. But if we can get her back, if there's a show you'd like she and I to do, because there's still so much. I've got a lot of questions about some other therapies she's doing, so we can get into a lot of that down the road. But you can contact me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And as Janelle gave out all of her information, you can contact her. But if for some reason you can't, send anything to M&M or that the Fiorello Barbell. If that's the case, I'll forward it to her. There's always ways to get a hold of people here, and we want people to do that if they want to reach out. I'll leave you with these 5 things plus a few more. Number 1, if someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, never be afraid to give words of inspiration, because remember, 5 words will inspire you. Believe me when I tell you that. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Stone says, "Crusher in blood red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's." As I always say, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, who's been a listener of M&M from the very beginning and is a regular guest on here, "When I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers." We will say that for the next 28 years, brother. And I've also had other people tell me, too, "You guys get all fired up. I swear to God, my speakers vibrate when you start yelling." I said, "That's a good thing." Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest college professor ever in business, he used to say 3 words, one word constantly, and it resonates now more than ever. Repetition, repetition, repetition. As my pop used to say, among many things, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for years, we lost him 2 years ago to cancer. John was like a father figure to me because I lost my dad so much earlier before I met John, and I miss our Friday afternoons where not only would you get work done, but man, the conversation was so much fun. And John would walk everybody to the door and say 2 words to him, "Keep smiling." I dare you to say that on the worst day of your life and not smile, because I've gotten notes from people that are like, and at the end they'll say, "Keep smiling." So I know people are doing it. And John would be so happy that this his legacy is going. John, as all of the other two men, they were men's men. And one day we'll all meet again, believe me. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to knock on your door. We'll put our foot right through it. Join our family. Join our revolution. I promise you the next 28 years of your life will be the best ever. Janelle, it's been an honor, and I thank you for being on today.
Thank you so much. It's been awesome to be on.
You're more than welcome, and we'll have you back. So, for Janelle Vector, this is Eric Fiorello. Like I said, Willie will get Janelle on early next year. But remember this, like the great Les Brown says, that you all have greatness, but we'll take it a few steps further. We believe in you fully, and we've got your back. I don't know many people that would put out a pledge like that. But then again, we aren't like most people. So everybody, have a great week, and we will talk to you soon, and thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.